Welcome back, hero. Let the games begin.
Jammer up.
Starting the test. Go ahead and log in and check.
So what I think is that murder sometimes is a good thing, and the fact that it's illegal.
I was gonna say you could just use the butt plug to, you know, stop all the problems, but you know.
Crystal, it's your turn to say something outrageous and out of context.
Interesting.
I think Brussels sprouts are evil.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, did you know cauliflower is a man-made vegetable?
Good to know.
Look back at the screen.
Sounds clear on your end for
you.
Well, there's my laugh.
Yo, if you do when I do the sound in the episode,
you know when I'm laughing.
I know every time you've laughed because it's like...
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Well, no matter what,
it's Twilight Zone right now.
As we watch ourselves in that moment.
So, y'all want to start?
That feed is fast.
That is, yeah.
That's a fast feed.
All right, I'm going to start this here. Are we ready?
Yeah.
We're starting on Instagram too, if the button will let me do things. Go. Okay.
Dude, like, do you like have to mash your
No,
that's what it
because
seems like.
Of the tightness of the holder, it like makes the screen yeah. Hi Instagram.
I see, like, muscle
definition. We're just pressing the start button. I'm gonna move my water bottle out of here.
And I'm gonna put it down here. And Acadia isn't paying us to show their merch.
So. No, they're not.
Soon.
This
soon
is, ago. It's like a podcast or whatever. We're going to get started
was
soon.
Was this 2:14? We know we're coming up on 52 episodes.
Ooh.
Almost 1 year.
Almost 1 year. There you go. And even though we skipped like the two, well, we didn't even skip.
Not really.
We skipped the one for New Year.
Oh, yeah. But we did a double.
And we shot the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Christmas came early.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
That's right. All right. So
let's do this.
A little bit. Episode 214. If I was the roots, I would have been screaming out.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Wait, are they 215? I don't know.
No, they scream out every episode ever.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they scream it?
Yeah, they shout it as they're doing the intro.
Is that shout still okay? Is that crooked?
The couch is a little crooked.
I don't think it's the couch.
Yeah, wavy.
We are.
All right, so episode 214 of Illipod.
We're going crooked.
We're right. Live.
Yeah! Hey. We're clapping for ourselves.
Of course. If you can't be your biggest fan or your biggest, you know, critic, then who can be?
There you go.
What up, though, loved ones? It is Isla Powell. Season 2, episode 14. I don't know how many total episodes, but it is your boy, Handsome Bane, and my sister.
Everyday Rogue.
And we also have a guest.
Very special guest.
Hi, my name is Eric.
Eric Martinez, photography.
Yes.
Is in the house. We want to put that over, that you're actually here, that you photograph things and people. And you know.
Yeah, I take the picture sometimes, you know.
Yes. So we're going to jump into a little bit of news. We're going to talk about our spring break. And then we're going to get to interview Mr. Eric Martinez Photography. And then we're going to close out our episode. So stick around, social media, if you want to chime in, feel free to. We'll try to catch you as we go.
Don't mind me reaching for things. I just...
Yeah, do you want to start with this?
I'm just constantly digging through Aaron's archives because it's become easier to do now.
Yeah.
Aaron's my older brother who passed away and left me like all of the comics from 1992. Geez. I just recently found Spawn number one. And
one of my favorites.
Yeah. They were like, the graded one is like 1500. I'm like, you know, I don't believe anything that the internet says numbers wise for you know, books, but it was a solid find. And I posted it on our many social media platforms, one being Instagram, Vero, the Facebooks. All those.
Did the viral thing fade out? I haven't heard much about it.
I don't know. I'm just going to stick around because I know sometimes... That's the thing. Instagram has been around for 100 years.
That's
and
true.
I might have come in on year 50 because it was just like that also wasn't a big thing.
Mm.
I still think that as time goes on, the fact that they don't inundate you with commercials or...
Yet.
They don't scramble your timeline...
Mm.
Is I think it was like kind of born on that. That is like, no, when you post a picture is when it'll be shown.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think a lot of people, the people who are in on Vero, it's kind of like the Bitcoin of social media right now. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's, but, you know, just in case we're there, we were one of the first to do it. We can wear our hipster glasses on that one.
So, what do you got there?
Just the 95 FLIR Ultra checklist here with the, it's 95, it seems like so long ago, but not.
Yeah.
You were, I don't know, you were probably on a tricycle by that time.
I was seven.
You might have been.
It's,
you guys are calling me?
No, it's when you say tricycle, I'm just thinking 95. Oh my God, I remember where I was.
Oh, I know where
I'm a little bitty... pimple pop teenager.
I was
going for these like crazy.
Yeah, and thinking, this is going to be $1 billion when I get of age.
Mm-hmm.
There's Magnus there.
Magneto.
We're looking at photos. Don't mind me. let's get the show rolling.
Yeah, so there was some news about Rusev.
Oh, yeah. As everybody knows, I am a big proponent of Rusev's messiness on social media. Him just basically just not shiving one git about about his job, because basically he feels like he's been kind of slighted as far as like his position in the company WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically just being over it. And I don't know if he's trying to get fired or if he's just, you know, to the point where he just doesn't care. And at least he, if he, you know, talks spicy, at least he can say whatever he wants to say. I don't know, maybe. But so a couple weeks ago, he was booked in a match with The Undertaker at the Greatest Royal Rumble for it was a casket match. He knows he's going to lose that. So he says, bury me softly. For those who are uninitiated in wrestling talk, burying somebody means like making them look weak, making them look garbage. To the point where it's like, I might as well not even wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, bury me softly, brother. And I guess a couple people had a problem with that. He also cut a promo where he was saying that Undertaker was like past his prime. Ooh. And he is. You know. And because he's 50 and up. So, yeah, that's not a... He's 50 and up. That's not an old man's game, honestly. So, I guess he got some backlash about it. Chris Jericho was pushed into that position because I guess Chris Jericho was going to be there anyway. So they took Rusev out, put Chris Jericho in. Rusev has started taking WWE off of all of his social media.
Mm.
So, of course, that leads people to think like, oh, Rusev's going to quit or he's fired or whatever, drama.
Mm.
So, but anyway, he ends up back on. So I don't know what took place. Don't care.
Okay.
But then a couple of days ago on his Instagram again, they had the promo picture of him. Jericho and Undertaker from a couple weeks ago. And Rusev writes Throwback Thursday. And it's just hilarious. There's so many layers to that joke. And he's probably, I wouldn't let him go anywhere because Rusev needs to be a writer and a performer who, I mean, is obviously over. Like, we love, like, you know, people are fans of Rusev. Might as well just go ahead and give us something we might want out of the whole ordeal. But it was hilarious to me. So that was going on with Rusev. But yeah, Throwback Thursday. Just that joke has so many. It's just an onion of a joke. You can just peel and find so many funny parts to it. But yeah.
There are a lot of layers there.
There are.
That's awesome. Good. Well, shout out to this awesome spring day. You hear some noise in the background, some activity.
45 degrees.
Yeah.
And we're taking advantage of it. My hands are freezing.
I'm wearing it, but I have no sleeves on, so I'm excited. 45.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got the sun out. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday.
You gotta, like, sit right in the path of the sun. Because if you step in a shadow, it drops, like, the temperature drops, like, a hard 12 degrees.
Well, very specific.
Very.
But yeah, so
Fahrenheit.
This is for Massachusetts. This is spring break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's still today and the rest of today and tomorrow.
No, Sunday is the saddest day of the week. Like after church, and then like that night where you're like sitting on the edge of your bed thinking like, should I go to work? Yeah. Or can I just blow my brains out?
Oh, no.
Have you been watching me through my window of my room? Because that's somewhat of the saddest thing.
That's a shared experience.
That's a shared experience. Mm. But no.
How was your spring break?
I watched my kids the majority of it. And I'm not one of those who I'm babysitting these kids. I'm not that guy. But the two of them are very demanding, and just the baby,
as small children are.
Yeah, just the baby when she's just a ball of savagery, and she just mows down life, just catering to her id at all times. And I want cheese ball. Yeah, it's just like cheese, and just slapping and hitting and just crying.
Learning.
So,
and laughing and playing and hugging.
There's that too. My Jordan is the reverse of the Sour Patch Kid, where, you know, she's like sweet on the outside and sour on the inside. Like, she's like, hey, and then stabs you and grabs the car keys and Jordan's tough. I still stand by the belief that she is going to be the Solange Knowles to Jada's Beyonce. She's going to beat up one of Jada's boyfriends in an elevator at some point, and I'm here for it.
Okay.
But you had a much more eventful spring break.
Yeah. Mine was a working spring break, but I got to work in Disney, which was pretty awesome. Just the work I do, it's really relational work, and I've known this family for a long time, and got the opportunity to go with them to Disney to support my client while they were there, and it was really fun.
Was it too much at times? Because our community, we work
Wait. Before that, was it your first time to Disney?
It was my second time.
Ah.
Mm. So I hadn't been in 10 years. It wasn't too much necessarily. I felt like there was a pretty good balance of, there were times where I was working, but I also had times where I wasn't working, and I got to go into the parks and enjoy. The new Avatar ride at Disney is the most amazing ride ever. Totally worth the wait, worth using a fast pass, worth everything. It is amazing. I cannot stress that enough. So it was great. I got to ride it twice.
Friend of the show, Kellen Connolly, just did a whole podcast about his trip to Disney.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome. So, did he go on Avatar?
He did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he also think it was amazing?
I think he said it was.
It's amazing.
He's a fairly agreeable guy, so he probably did.
Fair enough.
He's a good guy to sell things to.
Speaking of good guys, we have a good guy sitting here, so patiently waiting for us.
I know,
to
right?
To
let's get to why we're here.
Yeah.
Jump into the fire. Let's go.
So you are a photographer.
Yes.
Yeah. So
give us the bio stuff. You know, let's get that out the way. How long you've been doing this?
Really for me, the way my photography upbringing and the history behind it was, just taking photos of, you know, family, friends, things like that. Nothing serious when I was a little kid. Did a little in high school. Went to college a little bit for it. But really fell off in my 20s. And I just did what a lot of people do, work. Met that guy over there, Michael. In the midst of it. Yeah, he's, you know, give it
the record show that the witness is pointing at Michael Lamarie.
Yeah, that chubby bastard.
Say that.
I think he has a father, but
the way I fell into photography, but also cosplay photography, was quite random. I was in the comments taking photos of flowers, kind of like the standard growth of how photographers go, and I saw children run by with blood on them. Didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
But I saw them running. It was the funniest thing. I was like, oh, okay, they're playing around.
Oh, the funniest thing?
That is going to be a clip.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm
that's
going to
be a clip.
It was just, I'm like, oh, okay, they're dressing up for fun. But then I kept hearing a moaning. And if any of you guys watch The Walking Dead, you know the sound. I turn around and there's a giant herd of zombies behind me.
Oh, the zombie march?
The zombie march is how I literally fell into all of this. I saw it. I just started following them. Found them on Facebook. Found their lead, the guy who created it. Went to my very first con, which is Anime Boston. Still my OG con that I always go to. Aww. And that's how I deep dived into all of this, was going there. You know, met the community, great bunch of people, met a lot of great friends who I still have to this day, who actually helped me learn a lot, as that I'm still learning, as I'm still going through it. And that's how I got into this whole thing.
What year was that?
Oh my God. It's in the early 2000s. I want to say 2013 maybe. So 13, 12, around there is when I really got into, like, seriously, like, trying to better myself and go as professionally as I possibly can. I don't sometimes consider myself professional because I still make mistakes, but I try to do my very best for when I'm booking or if I'm just shooting for casual fun.
Then that's very professional.
Yeah. I gotta keep it the same way no matter what I'm doing, because if not, it's not worth it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Social media, if you guys have questions for Eric, feel free to type them in. We'll kick it back to you at the
end
here.
Somebody had something about Infinity War.
It's so hard to see from here.
Are you all going to see Avengers Infinity War?
Of course,
yes,
we are.
Yep. Are you?
Nerd. Oh, my lovely other half just ordered the tickets this morning when we went to dim sum, so
there you go.
I am going Saturday.
Yes, okay. Cool, so keep those questions coming. So what kind of things do you shoot for? What events?
When I was going through my standard growth of the way I feel standard was basically landscape, but then I got into weddings, quinceañeras, sweet 16s. What I feel like sometimes a lot of photographers should learn before they go into anything else, just because if you can get into that type of business, it teaches you so much so fast, just because they're so demanding so fast. And then I shoot that, and, you know, I do generally headshots, and then what people know me for more, you know, cosplay. Mm-hmm. So that's where I go into.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, just like, well, I know our wedding photographer, the shots that we got were pretty good. That return though was like months. And it was just like, for me, I was like, oh, I guess maybe that's just the standard. And you know, also because your role is so important in there, is that weddings for the bride and groom are like just like so fast, and it's like colors and sounds.
Yep.
For me, it was just like
people were pushing you one way, and you had to go do this and stand, like, still for
people banging on the glasses and all this.
That's a general thing. Yeah.
That was just sound and light, and it was like, for me, and I was kind of still very drunk from the prior night, but it was
that's another story.
You're
guys,
one of the fun clients. Yeah.
No, that's what I mean, like, drunk, not even hungover.
There was no way he could have healed.
No,
that's one story that I can give you real quickly. Was my very first wedding that I had to shoot with my big sister, David Jr., his mom, Joanne, she took me to the first shoot. The bride is there in the home. You have the family going crazy, getting stuff done. She's in the bedroom. They were like, all right, we're going to go in here. It's her in a bed. Three of us crammed in a corner, trying to let her do her thing. Mother gives her a fish sandwich from McDonald's because she hadn't eaten. She was nervous. Understood. She took two bites. We were getting ready. I've never seen someone in a full flare just jump up like a firecracker, ran out, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, what's going on? She goes, oh, she went to go throw up. I'm like, what?
Because a fish, filet of fish is gross.
Yeah. Yes,
she threw it. But to her credit, not a single makeup.
Oh, no.
Was smear. It was,
that's not going to happen.
No, it was part. She was, blah, came back, and I was like, this is how it is? Like, I was terrified because I know what I know how to take the photo, but I was like, I didn't know how to react with the client. That right. was what that was my learning curve was yeah. mm-hmm. learning how to deal with people.
So she set the bar pretty high.
Oh God, yeah. Everything I've always jumped to has been like an 11, and I'm like, can I just start at like a 3? Nah. And I take credit. I love that fact because like if you can make me go into a situation where it's like at 11 where it's crazy and it's hectic, and if I can survive that, everything else should be better.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think wedding is the most high pressure because those are people's memories that they are going to cherish forever.
They are. And there are people who are like, still like, take it too far. And you have bridezillas and that sort of thing. And it's like, they're still, you know, granted, this is what's going to happen, but they're, you know, something is always going to go wrong mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. a wedding. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, you're being the photographer, you don't want to be that thing that goes wrong.
No, that's right. Why you have to just always. Communication is, like, one of the biggest things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And prior to even what I've learned from, like, prior to even you going to the wedding, is sitting down with the client and trying to air out as much as you can as to what mm-hmm. you want, what are you looking for, what type of package, like, what are you expecting from me? Mm-hmm. And then I will then convey, okay, I can do, out of the 10 things you said, I can do 8. Mm-hmm. The other 3, whatever it may be, you know, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge.
That's
I may have to
cost
bring,
you.
Yeah, it's going to cost you. I'm going to have to bring someone in.
That's
going to
cost you.
Depending on what it is. Like, I always sound like, you're not going to get, you know, fireworks in the background, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to cut you out and put you at a sandy beach.
What's the most ridiculous thing somebody's asked for?
Oh.
Thank you for that. If you guys don't know, my lovely screen. Girlfriend, my other half, Rita, she's on the other side over here. So if I keep looking over there, it's because I'm just...
He's trying to make sure he can say...
Say it, but also like, baby, I'm going to go dive deep. So I had a... I can say it now because I don't see the person anymore. I'm not going to say a name, but I had a coworker. Because during the day, just to let you guys know, I'm a security officer. During the weekends and nights when I can do this stuff, that's when I become Martina Z Photography. Mm-hmm. But I had a coworker who wanted some photos. Just a simple photo shoot for her portfolio for, I think, dance or whatever it was she was. Lovely, lovely lady. Big girl. No big deal. Took the photos. We did great. It was afterwards when we were done is the request that she asked me. She says, can you make me skinnier? That is the biggest thing that photographers always fear, I feel. Because it's like, okay, you're a big curvy girl. Nothing is wrong with you. She goes, mm-hmm. I want these photos to be, I want to look thinner so when I present them they can... take me for the job. I'm like, you do realize when they see you, when you walk in, you have to physically hand it or even email when they're going to want to meet you.
This right.
And so what I did and some of the lessons that I learned, I'm like, I made her a little bit smaller, just a little tiny thing. I didn't from a round ball. I just pushed it in just a bit because I'm like, if they see this, I look like I'm
who
making
took these
you.
Pictures.
Exactly. And I'm like, no. No.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, I will try to persuade or make them see what I'm speaking about because mm-hmm. I'm like, I get what you want. I will give you, and I always tell them, I will give you one photo to the way you want it. And then I will give you the rest. Mm-hmm. And if you want rework, we'll talk about that. But it's going to be
Wild.
It's going to be crazy.
Well, that really speaks to the vulnerability of photography in general. You mm-hmm. know, there's a certain image you want to present to the world. And you're hoping that it's captured.
Exactly.
So how do you promote body positivity in photography?
It's really just, you know, when I'm working with them, with a client, or especially at a con, because there are many lovely shapes and colors at a con when it comes to cosplay. Even if they're not in the most, you know, high-tech, high-produced cosplay, some women and some men they'll wear something that, you know, they think they look great in. And I'm like, cool, I like what you're wearing. Let's do it. I will ask them, you know, how they want to be shot and, you know, pose them in the most flattering way that I can find. Mm-hmm. And then, especially at cons, like, I'll show them right off the bat. Like, even some photographers don't do it. I'll be like, hey, this is how you look. Do you like it? Cool. If not, all right, delete it off the camera. We'll try again. Mm-hmm. It's really just my way of showing them positivity is just showing them how they are, making them feel as comfortable and as beautiful, and showing them that I'm a giant dork as I'm doing it. Because I think when I saw you guys, I was laying on the floor.
Oh yeah.
So I was laying on the floor, and I had Nancy just laying on my tummy because I was taking a photo. I was doing a photo shoot as we were talking, and something happened. And I was shooting, and you know that's how I am. I will make fun of myself to show you that I am not. I don't hold myself to any high standard.
Right.
I'm an idiot at times. Right, babe?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
She confirmed.
Yes, he did. So, you know, it's just really just, you know, showing like, you know, hey, you took the biggest step of coming out, you know, being who you are. I'm just going to help push it forward because that's all I can really do. I can't, there's nothing else that I can do that you already haven't done. Let's make you look even better.
Right, because when you sit there and you pick like, okay, this is what I'm going to be, and you're obviously trying to play to something that you see in yourself and just trying to like bring that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So as a cosplayer walking around a convention and I see photographers, especially when I was starting out and I just had my everyday Rogue, I didn't think I'd be worthy enough to have a photographer take a photo of me ever. So is there like a worthy factor? Should cosplayers, you know, as they're just starting out, feel that way? Like,
No. And I say this to a lot of people a lot of times. There will be someone who will start off who will just buy the one piece suits. Or they'll try making it on their own. You already started. You are already worthy because you worked your butt off, or you took the first leap into going into this community or going into this world. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's just now how far do you want to challenge yourself is what I see. Is like, do you want to make it better where you get better at using EVA foam to make a piece, or are you just comfortable buying the suits? And it's fine. My feel is, as a photographer, it doesn't matter what they look like, how good can I make them feel? And how good can I kind of, in a way, make the photo feel? Because, like, there are a lot of times, like, I've shot some people who, unfortunately, the cosplays weren't the best. Mm-hmm. It happens. You work with what you got. And I've worked with some cosplayers who have made everything from head to toe, who, a good cosplayer that I know is the Gnome Queen, she's out of Jersey, made a Balrog from Lord of the Rings, and it's amazing. And I've met someone who wore a one-piece suit because they didn't know what else to do. Still good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You make it work. Mm-hmm. Own it. That's what I always say. Own who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Own your cosplay. And then I will do my best to make it shine. Mm-hmm. Because that's all I can really do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. A lot of stuff, like, when you see how well something is shot, it makes you think, like, oh, this is high priced. Oh, this is, this is mainstream. This is, like, this is going to go on NBC or something like that. So, like, a lot of times when I saw that, I'm like, you try to wrap your mind around just being able to produce something like that, and then it's like, no, it's just a matter of producing it and a matter of posting it and just trying to help people see that it's really that easy is like tough to translate to some people.
Yeah, I love that you said that. So if you guys listening and watching, you're just starting out in cosplay, you are worthy, you are worth it. So what does a cosplayer do? Do they just approach you and say, will you take photos?
Well, it happens in many different ways. For myself, usually at a con like Anime Boston, PAX, Boston Comic Con, whatever it may be that I go to, I usually, with a big group of friends that I have, shout out to Hanson and Athel and Dave Wong, who are all photographers that you guys may know or heard of. You may have heard of them. We generally, you know, we'll be geeky. We'll hang out in a corner. We'll own that corner if it's good lighting. And then we'll shoot. Or a lot of times you may see me, if some of you guys have, I'll be a nomad. I'll have my stuff and I'll be running around. If I see something I like, I'll always go up and ask. And I'll try to be as respectful as I can, because if they're sitting and eating, leave them alone. If they're just looking around, I'll ask them, like, hey, is it okay if I grab you for just a moment to take photos? You know, I have a light set up over here. They say no. I can't do anything about it. I'm like,
but
I'll just
how
say,
often does that happen?
You'd be surprised. Really? It happens a lot. I used to in the beginning, I used to get really...
50-50 chance.
Yeah, it was a 50-50 chance. I used to get very frustrated because then I saw it as a challenge.
Like, is that because it's a photographer? Because, like, I've never had somebody, like, say no, just taking a regular phone pic.
It can be chopped up to many things. Like, they could be uncomfortable, like, people approaching them. They could be exhausted. They could be having a really bad time at the con. Yeah. It can be many factors. So, like, when it happens... I'm just like, okay, cool. Well, I always tell them, like, hey, if you change your mind, I'm up over here, or I'll be around the corner, or I'll see you later on. If you see me, just, you know, say hi.
For me, it's a time factor. Like, sometimes I don't know how long it's going to take, how many shots. So how long does it usually take?
If that's one of the questions that I do have. I always check with a cosplayer, like, especially at PAX East when I was just there. I'll ask a cosplayer, and before we even head up to or go where my light stand is, I'm like, how much time do you have? Are you heading anywhere? Because if they have all the time in the world, I will take 20, 30 minutes sometimes just because I want to grab as many angles, as many shots as I can. And then also because I have my photographer friends with me, they may see her or him and they may want to shoot with them. So I'm like, is it okay after I'm done if they can shoot with you? Cool. If they have a limited time, I'm like, well, okay, just take like probably like 5 minutes. You'll see me hop about like a bunny with my flash, moving around, make sure I get the right shot. Bam, 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 bam. And then... get them on the way. I try as best I can to grab information because that's the other key thing that's harder to con. It's, I can take your photo easy. It's finding you that's the hard part.
And people want their stuff posted, like, I think. Like,
I
especially when you are a cosplayer, you do want to have as many
shots. I had to post something of a girl I shot at KatsuCon. Unfortunately, didn't get any information out of her. Searched for 2 days on Instagram. Couldn't find her on any social platform. Didn't know she even had anything. But once I posted the photo asking people, within 2 seconds I got a response.
Oh, wow.
So it was that was the best great. Thing that the community was nice enough to help. Yeah.
That's definitely eating of the East.
Yeah.
Yep.
Posted it, got it out, and it was the best thing. So it's like reaching out, talking, getting to know people. Like, I'm unfortunately horrible with names. I can attest to it for a lot. Cosplayers will come up and ask me, like, you remember, like, I remember you in cosplay. Street clothes, I don't know. So, like, if you had makeup and horns and all this. I can find you, but.
If you were blue.
Right. That's what I'm like, okay, she may have a horn, nose, a earring, something ripped. No, I can't. Nope. And they'll come up to me, a lot of cosplayers, like, do you remember who I am? I'm like, no. I'll feel bad about it, but I'm
like. Well, we're shapeshifters. If anything, that's a compliment if you don't recognize us in a different cosplay.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. Like, I don't. Not like they'll come up to me in street clothes. I'm like, I don't mean to offend, you know. And it's because you meet so many people at these things, at these events, so many times that meeting them in a natural setting, that's the weird part. I'm used to you and being 6 foot tall, horns and wings. That doesn't faze me at all. You on Newberry Street walking around with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I'm like, who are you? Ooh, it gets scary because I'm like, oh my god. That's how you look.
You know,
and a lot of times I always gush around and joke. I'm like, you're more beautiful outside of cosplay.
Aww.
And I'm like, can I shoot with you now? And you know, just because that's the one thing I'm trying to get to now is
that's
shooting
really
outside
sweet.
Of cosplay. Yeah.
That's awesome. So we saw you at PAX.
Yes.
What other conventions do you do?
Like I said, Anime Boston, Boston Comic Con is kind of iffy, just because of
the new.
Yeah.
$50 million.
Yeah, that's an iffy
how
one.
Many
people
can we fit in here?
Yeah. It's Rhode Island Comic Con, Colossal Con. I try to hit up as many things. There will be one that I'll be heading up to is Cape, run by Nerd Caliber.
Yes, yes.
I'll be heading to that one. So yeah.
That's the cosplay and photography exposition.
Yes. I'll be heading up to that. So I try to hit up as many as I can on the Northeast.
You guys are getting real clever with these acronyms.
I know.
Hey, you got us.
It's not
man.
On the Cape though.
Yeah. No. Thank you for the laughter off stage. Yes, I made a joke, or I was trying to tell someone one time. They're like, "Oh, you're shooting on the Cape?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm shooting on the Cape," and didn't realize what I was saying, and it wasn't nowhere near the Cape, and it was just I made myself look like a fool, which is nothing new.
That's
yeah.
So, do you have like favorite characters to shoot, or
actually, no. A lot of times when I do shoot with people, I 50-50 chance I won't know their the fandom or whatever their cosplaying is.
Oh.
So it's more fun
it's
for me.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's a lot of stuff.
Trying
I was
to
at
keep
PAX
up.
And I'm like, I only only recognize a fraction of these cosplays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of World of Warcraft, League of Legends, and it's so hard for me to shoot those.
Anything MMO.
Yeah, I'm an Xbox player, but
I'm out of it.
Yeah, it's I try to shoot everything as best I can. I really don't have a particular thing to shoot. If I know of a friend cosplaying and they're shooting, I'll go for that. But it's whatever is around.
Kevin says that there is a cape on the cape.
Oh,
thank you.
There is.
Thank you.
Oh. But there's another there's another cape in, it's north, right? Where's the other one?
Oh,
is it
God.
In New Hampshire? Where's the other one, Kevin? Do you know?
He'll answer momentarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send it back out so I don't feel like a fool too much.
So speaking of fandoms, what are your fandoms?
Well, I wear some of them on my sleeve. I have
literally
on my sleeve. Skyrim,
on his arm.
Inquisition. It's a lot of like Lord of the Rings. I'm into a lot of some of the anime. Marvel is one of my biggest fans that I love just because of how they're representing so well in the movie theaters right now.
Yeah. They're hard to argue with right now.
No, I mean, I kind of wish DC was doing a little better.
I just want every comic book every comic book film, every adaptation to be good because Wanted was trash.
I like James McAvoy, though.
But was that movie good?
Well, it wasn't the comic. I feel like some of those...
The Tapestry of Truth.
Okay. I know.
Morgan Freeman saying, shoot this motherfucker. And no.
Okay.
Swearing though is... it's a plus in my book.
I felt like that part was like, listen, this movie sucks.
Well, I feel like this movie as its movie...
Morgan, I'm going to need you to use one of your rare swears in a film.
That's...
And then it was just like he put too much on it. And then it was
I do have a question for you guys. I don't know if you got to see.
Oh,
there's a
there's
a Netflix.
So
it's one thing I was just recently finding out. So the Netflix adaptation of the Teen Titans live action.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen any of the photos?
I have.
Oh, okay. What are your thoughts?
I hope that's not what it looks like.
Now I will say this. So if for any of you guys who do know anything about it, there's some hidden shots of like the characters like Raven, Beast Boy, and Starfire that have been running around, doing the round on the internet, and I just cracked my voice there because the one photo that hurt the most was Starfire.
Yeah.
I don't remember the actress's name. Lovely African American woman who
she looks like she could be a good Starfire, and then
well, let's not go too far. She could from what I've seen from the promotional photos prior to this behind the scenes stuff. I will agree. But she looked like she had a hard night at a club, and she's doing the walk of shame. I'm hoping that it's better. And then the Beast
she looks
Boy.
Exhausted, so maybe it was like they have been shooting all day.
Dancer.
Yes,
I'm thinking hopefully like they have been shooting all day, and she was like literally just tired.
Yeah, but
and that
Beast
it wasn't
Boy
like the
fresh.
Character.
That Beast Boy, and then the Raven looked like she just stepped out of a Hot Topic or a Spencer's.
It was pretty cheap as far as because like
my biggest thing is that
the costume design just looks cheap.
Yes, because I have a hard thing to understand. Like DC, there's nothing wrong with it. Love them, but
they just can't figure it out.
I'm like, just copy Marvel. That's all I feel like. Or
oh no,
copy what?
Well, I won't even say copy Marvel. Just take your time. Stop feeling like you just gotta rush stuff. Like we've been comic book fans forever. A lot of these characters are 70 years old. Like, Robin, as a character, is at least 70 years old. Probably 80 around now.
Yeah.
It's 38. He came out like 39. Robin probably came out 40. So, somewhere around there.
Yeah, if it's Superman right now, it's 80 because of his birthday.
Yeah.
So, you can kind of like,
Yeah,
but,
Superman.
But I mean,
DC
is also the ones that started making all of these comic book movies with Batman and Superman movies.
So why do they feel like they have to, like, because the problem is they're trying to compete, and you don't need to, like, they think, like, they're swimming, like, this race, like a sprint, like, Marvel has been doing the MCU is 10 years old, so, you know, they had a plan, like, DC's just seated their pants, we'd be talking about this
Well, thank you for asking us a question. Yeah, that's really special.
Because I mean, it's been something that's been racking my brain, and I've had a few people that I've been talking to about it. Because I'm just like,
I feel like CW could have done a better job with like CW's DC stuff. It's campy, but it's still kind of decent because it's like they are trying to have some kind of loyalty to the source material, and they do kind of. I feel like it. This the way they translate a lot of stuff on CW makes sense for a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, you got to stretch it. You got, like, you know, you got to put some years and some seasons on. And again, these are serial stories that come out every Wednesday. So it's like, yeah, you can do that.
But, I think as a cosplayer, it's so frustrating because, you know, if you cosplay someone from the original, you know it can work and you know it can look good.
I've seen some amazing Starfire cosplays.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest thing because I was just watching a YouTuber who was showing the clips and he was like, how is it that someone who works a 9-to-5 may have to pay student loans or whatever they may have to do, raise kids, can make an amazing Starfire, an amazing Beast Boy, an amazing Raven, but then a studio that has millions, not to say that that's
what
this is what they do. Yes,
this that's what they're doing
today.
That's their
job.
That's their job 24/7. Makes it look like they just stepped out of some teenager's closet.
Yeah.
That it just it hurts because I'm like, oh, how can you? It's it's a bad thing. I mean, I wish it was something better. Wish it was. I'm just hoping that when that does come out, that we were just seeing.
I still have hopes. For
yeah, it's like I'm hoping that's like
I still
a
want
pilot
a good
test.
Translation for like TV Robin. Or TV Nightwing, or whichever way they decide to go with it. So yeah, I'm hoping that does well because Nightwing, Dick Grayson, any of the Robins are like my favorite part of DC because it's like Batman with social skills.
It's almost a hard sentence to say, almost in a way to hear. Like he has social skills. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like Dick Grayson. He's just like you know. I have a lot of friends who could help me do with this situation real quick, and all I have to do is call them, and they like fly at the speed of light. So it's like, yeah, I can just do that.
Yeah, right, no, I feel that way about Rogue.
That was a pretty good palate cleanser. Yeah, and now let's get down.
Rogue has no friends.
Hey,
has friends.
The Brotherhood of Evil.
So, Cosplay Photography Expo 2018, July 28th to July 29th at the Holiday Inn in Nashua, New Hampshire. So there's the
guy on the end, on the outside. Didn't work. So that was a good palate cleanser. But now we're gonna get down to the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
Talk about sleazy photographers.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Hey,
well,
baby,
yep.
Take a picture. You want to be in the pictures, don't you?
No.
And what do I need to wear?
You let me worry about that.
So there is a certain type of shoot called a boudoir shoot.
Well, I think we just want to talk about like I just want to first talk about like you know, just being a trustworthy photographer and like having ethics and that sort of thing, and that will roll us over into the sleaze bags because you know, we talk about everything that you ain't that they are. So
no, it's understood. Well, for ethics wise, it's just it was so hard for because I'm just thinking back the way when I started, I was that little mousy guy that, you know, had a little camera. I would go up, can I take a photo? Like you could barely hear me, and I would run up and just go click, and then I would run like I did something wrong. It's just because like an anime Boston was since it was my first, I didn't know, and there were tons of rules. Like in a way, there are rules that are not spoken of. And just going through the motions and making friends.
Oh, you should have seen when this one came as Orihime.
Oh my gosh.
The nerds who were like, can I take a picture with her? Everything was so awkward.
Oh my gosh.
And did you have this? It's just the hand. Kind of
like, the shadow hand.
The shadow hand that didn't quite touch the shoulder. Yes. Like it was. You had cooties. Yes. It's kind of a thing of just like whenever I'm approaching someone, I don't know who they are. If I the first time meeting them, I just treat them as the golden rule is how I would like to be treated. Get to say hello. If I'm interrupting a conversation, just be nice about it.
You have to
Yeah, my camera doesn't even come up until we've agreed to like take a photo, right. And it's just like it's the ethics world is just like
it's like, you know, a gun. Take your finger off the trigger.
You gotta, yeah, it's always off, and then when I get to shoot, turn everything on. Well, sometimes I put the camera up without even being on, but you know, it's a dumb move. But it's just when you approach someone, treat them like you want to be treated, talk with them, and then it comes into the role of making them feel comfortable. And it's just like, all right, cool. A lot of times I won't know how to pose them because if I don't know the character, I don't know what they want and what their level of comfort is. The only way I'll know that is as we're taking photos. I'm like, are you okay doing this? Is it okay if you pop your hip? You know, like, I'm like, I'm just going to move a hair if you don't mind. Like, you have to go through all these rules because you don't know how that person may feel if you have the slightest little thing and they go off. It's being comfortable with me is my biggest thing. If I make you feel uncomfortable, I always say something. Because I don't want this to be a bad experience for you, especially when I'm shooting you. Because it's just, you know, we're having fun. This the whole experience is to have fun and make it memorable for you and for myself. I don't want to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, I fucked that up. And the next 2 days at a con, that's what I'm going to be thinking about is how bad I made that person feel.
Or you got somebody saying, like, don't go, you know.
Oh, that's God, the creep with the camera. The message boards on Facebook, on Instagram, well, there have been photographers that have heard them, like, oh, did you see what he did? I'm like, oh, God, here we go. All right, let's see what happens. And you'll hear all these stories. And then, you know, if I somehow meet the person that supposedly the issues happen with, I won't say anything. And they'll say something. I'm like, okay, let's hear it. Let's hear, you know.
Yeah.
I become the unofficial therapist and counselor. And it's like, all right, well, you know, you know that was wrong. And, you know, I feel bad for them. Just, you know, it's a weird, tricky thing. Like, being comfortable is the biggest thing. And then, yeah. Being professional is my biggest thing. It's like, I want to show you I'm serious about what I'm doing for you. I'm trying to make you look as good. If you didn't like the photo, let me know. We'll do something. You know, we'll try. So it's just the level of comfort is like the biggest thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the most drama happens in those boudoir shoots, though.
They can. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There have been stories that I've heard. Boudoir.
Let us tell. You're gonna tell the educators. Educate the masses, because I got people who don't do
boudoir,
anything with anything.
Think of your favorite cosplay character, basically, in lingerie. And you generally, the setting is technically a bedroom set. You'll hear a lot about it at cons. Like, oh, we're shooting a boudoir shoot. Like, what is it? And it's just, you know, it's basically kinky, flirty, fun photos of, you know. There are levels of them.
She-Hulk.
There are levels from the very, very, you know, modest, you know, you're still in your cosplay, and, you know, you're hinting at something to, okay, we're in our birthday suits, and the only thing on is just maybe the wig from your cosplay. And then, yeah, and you're working from there. So it's those shoots, which I have done one. If some of you guys have followed me on my Instagram, I just posted one up not that long ago.
He's done one.
Talking to my girlfriend. Yeah. That's another thing I'll bring up to all you photographers who are trying to start one of those. If you're with someone, if you're in a relationship and you're a photographer, yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Doing one was, I will say, I have never sweat so much in my life. And I had a wonderful friend named Hanson Wong who was there, and he was my support. He was helping me with lighting, because as good as I am, I feel like I always need more help, and I can always get better. He has shot one in the past, I believe, and he was willing to help me out and be there for me, and I made sure the cosplay I was shooting with had someone with her.
That's good.
Because as comfortable as that person or persons may be, I would rather them have someone there for whatever reason.
Right, absolutely.
Because, you know, I want, like I said, comfort is the biggest thing. They want two people there. They want their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their whole crew. Cool, as long as we can fit them in the room and it doesn't get
everybody watch me not do anything wrong. Sure.
Exactly. You know, I'm all for it. Like, hey, like, you see what I'm doing? Like, nowhere near. I'm shooting. But it was just, you know, working with it, doing it. I remember yelling at my friend a couple times, and just because I was nervous and I wanted to get this right and be as tasteful and respectful as I was with it. Once we were done, I apologized. Because I was just, I felt so bad. I was yelling at, but he understood why I was nervous the way I was. And doing it was the thing. It's the other half for myself, since I have a wonderful partner who helps me in so many ways with my photography. She, it was explaining it to her, because I know for some people the word boudoir has a stigma and an image that people have about it that it's not the greatest at times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you shoot, I feel like if you shoot it and you present it in a good way, in a good light, that, you know, it's not something, you know, pornography or anything like that.
I've seen some boudoir stuff that's like, oh, that's art, and then I've seen, yeah, you know, regular stuff like, oh, this is porn.
Exactly. and they can go to both of those extremes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you're just shooting someone at the rawest, and that's hard in itself, but then they're also on top of that playing a character, presenting themselves as a character,
mm-hmm,
in a more raw, even harder state, because it's like, all right, you're doing one thing, but then you're showing another side of yourself, like another level of art that's so hard to make sure it's done right, that,
mm-hmm,
I feel sometimes like, not photographers I know, but some that I've seen, that it's just like you missed it, like you could have done so much more. And I see somebody photos, I'm like, I know I'm not any better, but I'm like, I don't care,
man, she was naked.
Yeah, that's what I get a lot here. A lot of like, oh, she was naked. I'm like,
naked,
yeah,
man.
That's not what this is about.
Naked.
It's not about her being
nothing
nude.
Nothing about no angles, no lines, nothing. Naked.
That's not the biggest thing. Even though a lot of people, that's what they only focus on. It's like, oh, she never. I'm like, how do you know that she doesn't have anything underneath that blanket? Like, she could be fully clothed. We just gave you the illusion. You're
naked.
Putting that in. You're
yeah,
thinking that, and that's, mm-hmm, one of the biggest things. It's like, you know, maybe she was fully clothed. Maybe, you know, we just gave a hint of skin to give you the illusion, but it's really not. So it's always a hard thing to do.
So Kevin is saying never go to a room unless you have someone with you trust.
Mm.
That is 100%. And
I was going to ask you some red flags for anybody who might be watching who's never done a boudoir shoot, who might want to do a boudoir shoot at some point.
If,
or anything. When it gets someone else.
Yes. I feel like if you get a bad vibe, I've had friends who
trust your gut.
Yeah, trust your gut is the biggest thing. If you have photographer friends and you think you can ask them about that said photographer,
mm-hmm,
please.
Mm-hmm.
I've had friends who have asked me before about such and such, such and such, and I'm like, they're an okay person, but you know what? If you still want to shoot with them, fine. Bring somebody with you. I feel like no matter,
mm-hmm,
if it's someone you've known for 30 years, you bring someone with you. You always need that backup mentally and physically as a support group.
Right.
Just because, you know, I want that cosplayer should feel, or the model should feel 100% comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Never go, if that's the first question they ask you, turn around and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
That should never be the first question a photographer should ever ask you. I feel like, can I take your photos? Can we do a photo shoot? Cool. Later on, once you build up that trust and that comfortable with that photographer, if they bring it up and they're being respectful about it and they're discussing it with you as to what their idea might be or whatever,
yeah,
cool. If a cosplayer brings it up or if,
mm-hmm,
a model brings it up, cool. And as a photographer, I always say, talk everything out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know everything beforehand, like location, shoot, and everything like that, but what their idea or vision is for that. It's just, it's really when it's just like, only people are looking for tits and ass, like things like that. It's no. Yeah, especially if they're being weird about it and they're being persistent too. It's like, no, like that. No, you're here to shoot me in my royal costume. You're here to shoot me as Papa Smurf. Like, no. Why would you worry about? Why do you need that?
Papa Smurf's goods.
That would be a boudoir shoot. Papa Smurf and Brainy Smurf. Oh, and a boudoir shoot. Oh, that'd be
Smurf. Yeah.
So when are you gonna come be Papa Smurf? You
okay.
And Michael? You and Michael? Michael is Brainy Smurf?
So for anyone who does...
I was like, would I be Brainy Smurf or the angry one?
Oh my.
Oh, no.
Okay.
we'll go down the rabbit hole later. Yeah.
I also threw me off there. I was thinking about photographers who also have people do... Not anything like unethical, but just stuff that later on a lot of people look at and is like, that's kind of stupid. So I saw a guy, I saw a model. She was in a tub of cereal. And it's like...
Was she a cereal mascot?
No.
Huh.
No, she was just, it was... So again, we're talking like nude shoots.
Was there milk?
There was a tub full of milk.
Oh.
And just they emptied the cereal into it and it was like, all right. You're taking pictures in a bowl.
Yeah, there have been like some shoots that I've seen some of my friends do and other photographers do where like one was a girl who was dressed as her cosplay was a Thai girl prior to the Thai Pod challenge, surrounded by Thai Pods, but not promoting ingesting, right, but just, yeah, you know, being the supposed mascot for Thai in a fun, funny way, and then it happened to happen. Other times it's been like, you know, the cereal, chicken nuggets. It's an artistic thing that I've seen that I somewhat don't get. I find it funny, and if it's shot right, cool. Because I've also seen some that have been like, you know, the bubble baths, like those balls you throw in and they make the colors. Like, those are pretty cool. And a lot of times you just see the head and the wig, and that's really all you get to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
it's a cool one.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, listen, you get nude, hopping on, gravy.
You're still assuming it.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the ones I've seen.
Oh, the ones you've seen.
The
okay.
ones I've seen where it's just like, you just wanted her to get her clothes off and take pictures of her, and I don't know. It's like, maybe milk is his kink. Yeah. I don't know. It's just,
There are many different like trends in photography. Like, you know, like, oh, there's been one with like sweaters, like a certain type of sweater people are wearing, and then it's the, like you said, the bathtubs. It's, there are always these new, like, I call them trends and like little facets of like photography.
You know, there's always hair in the sink, or there's always hair in the tub. Yep.
I just thought about it with the cereal. Oh.
Exactly. That's
okay.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
So you've talked about lots of different types of shoots you do. If anyone is watching or listening and they would want to book a shoot with you, what would that entail?
Very simply, the biggest places that I put my media out is Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, it's martinez.e photography.
Oh, we'll definitely post.
Yeah, it's also the same thing on Facebook, but also it's Eric Martinez. I'm also on Vero. There was a big jump.
There was actually
a big jump not that long ago from a lot of photographers and cosplayers where we were getting sick of like how Facebook and Instagram, just how they are with like capping and throttling, you know, your reach to people that we all did a big jump. I know some people have stopped. To a certain degree, because I've seen that before. I wasn't able to get on Vero at all, but then now I'm able to. So I'm always posting on those three, and then for like rates and everything like that, I'm always saying just hit me up in the Messenger, just talk, and I will be more than willing to talk to you about what I can do for you, what I can't, or you know, maybe I can suggest maybe someone else, but I will try my best to do what I can. So those are the social medias that I try to use the most. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Do we want him to go through social medias now or at the end?
Well, he just went through his. We might as well go through ours.
Yeah.
Just get the thing over with.
All the social medias. Would you like to do the honors?
We got a Facebook there. If you do hashtag IlePal, you'll find it. If you just go on Google, and just ILAPOW, so much of our stuff will pop up. All of the hyphen podcasts. I don't know how Kellen does it, because he just rattles off so much social media stuff. But hyphenpodcast.com, ilapow.com, that will also work. We're on Instagram. It's like a podcast or whatever. We're at Twitter at ilapow. I posted some, had a couple of questions, a couple of threads. Is M. Bison hustling backwards? Check it out. I just wonder how much he saves not booking a giant thing versus like flying everybody to the fight. Anyway, it's all there. Go to Twitter, read that. What was the other one? I just recently did the other one about we're talking about gaming and spectating at the same, because we had talking about watching video games. I was like, wait a minute, some of the best times of my life have been just sitting there watching someone play a game. And so I'd post those. I would like if your girl here would post some stuff.
Oh yeah.
On something sometimes.
Sorry.
That would be great.
I post stuff on mine sometimes.
Oh.
Everyday Rogue.
No. Must be nice to just worry about yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, just kind of opposite on the couch.
Well, we have some thank yous. Clearly not to me, but to other people.
Some other people who think about us. No, give the shouts. Because these guys, they do so much to make sure that we can do what we do. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any money to give them yet. So until then, these shout-outs are going to have to suffice.
Yeah, so huge shout-out to Bryant, who got us a new camera. It's not up and running yet, but that was really amazing and generous.
He just hit me up like, yeah, you want this camera? And I'm like, Like, oh, you own it? He was like, yeah, I just bought it. It's there.
It is here.
Oh.
We're just still working out
some
stuff.
We got some stuff coming up for us.
Huge thank you,
but
Bryant.
But really, besides that, Bryant, I tell this always quick little story I always like to say about there to kind of encapsulate the kind of guy that Bryant is. If you got sick, right, and you were like, I need this herb. It only grows on the mountain in the Himalayas. And you gotta go to the highest one to go get it. He'd be like, all right, say no more. And he would go get it. And if he came back and you were okay, like, and you were, like, fine, and you, like, forgot to call him and tell him you were on the mend already, he'd be like, if he came back and was like, you still need the herb, he'd be like, oh, no, I'm good. He'd be like, oh, I'm just glad you're not dead then. You know, like, that's the kind of friend that Bryant is. So, yeah, not enough is said enough about that.
Thank you, Bryant. And we can't say enough about Nancy either.
Nancy, the ride or die of Isla Powell.
Mm-hmm. She's done a couple shows with us, guest hosting, and has just been a huge, huge supporter all the
way
through.
And she got the tickets for PAX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got to be there, which is amazing. There's also a game we played called Slapback.
Clapback. I'm sorry. My friend is of the Caucasian persuasion. That's the lightest thing you've ever done.
What was the show called? Slapback?
Wow.
Woo.
Okay.
We're live on that. Yeah. I think that's a good place to end. It's okay. You called Slapback. Well, and then you did, and then you clapped your hands. Wow. All right, guys. I think we're gonna end it. We have another.
You broke her, man.
She's broken. Yep. All right, guys. We love you. We trust you. We believe that you'll do great things throughout the week until we see each other again. Peace. Wow. That was great. Oh, we ended right on time.
Uncle Westside coming live from the underground. Goopies popping up unannounced at my mother house. Hopefully you understand the pressure that I'm under now. So what's the word, babe? Cause all this posture in between us is absurd, babe. Don't let the gossip in between us, that's just words, babe. Half of what you see and none of what you heard, baby. Hold on, my battery done. 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 God damn it, my battery done. Hold on, my battery done.